What's going on, family? What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I am riding solo tonight from solitary confinement. That's right. Solitary confinement in Facebook jail. I have been prosecuted and by a jury of nine peers, and they stated the prosecutor's case against me was strong. You know what I'm saying? The prosecutor said basically that your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, is guilty of speaking truth to power unapologetically. So I was sentenced to 3 days of solitary confinement in Facebook jail, which means that I can roam, I can have my space in my cell, but I can't communicate with any other inmates, meaning I can't share this show tonight with any other group. So if you're on Facebook, please click that share button for me, family. Peace and blessings, Candace Queen. Sister Lisa, peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings, my brother, Al Tariq. Now, I'm not out yet, bro. I'm coming. As you can see, I got one of the posters for the Independence Day Project behind me. So we have another poster that's coming out very shortly, as well as within the next week or so, you should be having the sneak peek to the actual movie. So, family, like I said, if you can on Facebook, listen, if you're watching this on YouTube or you're watching this on the Freedom Train Network, please share this broadcast with as many people as you can. All right. So one of the things we want to get into tonight, first of all, I want to tell y'all, tonight's show, we're shouting out people and we're giving props to brothers and sisters in the community, in the hood, that's been doing well, doing well for the community. So we're going to give some shout outs tonight, but we're also going to have a conversation about money. We're going to have a conversation about what money means to us. And in addition to covering some of the recent events that have been going on worldwide, I don't really follow a lot of the different things, pop culture, but I saw there was a lot of congratulating going on social media for a half black woman that married into the so-called royal family. So we can talk about that for a minute. It seemed like every bedwinch's dream is to marry up. There was a crazy article that was released this week by the daughter of Alice Walker. Let me see if I can find that article for y'all. It's how my mother's fanatical views tore us apart. And it's basically, Rebecca Walker, who's the daughter of Alice Walker, and she's talking about how her mother's feminist views sort of like created a chasm between her and her mother, and they hadn't talked in over 5 years, which is a shame. Alice Walker is a well-revered sister. She was a staunch feminist, traveled the world, but according to her daughter, that her allegiance to feminism was, one of the things that tore their family apart, because her mother saw her as an unfair burden, children's unfair burdens to women. So she passed her daughter off, and her daughter had to, pretty much fend for herself at a young age. In fact, her daughter even goes into the article and speaks about how her mother sort of, she didn't necessarily push her into being sexually promiscuous at a very young age, but she didn't discourage it. She got her birth control at the age of 13 when she knew her daughter was having sex. And when she had an abortion at 14, she went and got her daughter. She paid for money and sent her daughter off for somebody else to have the abortion done. And so a lot of times she'd be going for months out of the year, and basically her daughter would be home, and her neighbors would have to look in on her. Her daughter would have money, but she basically raised off of fast food. And she was basically talking about how feminism detracts, some feminists, I'm not all, but some feminist viewpoints detract away from motherhood and household. So that's a very good conversation we need to get into. What's going on, young brother Anthony Price? What's good, young brother? Let's see. Oh, yes. First of all, brother Moba, Joe Mo, what's going on? Yeah, they have been at odds. Brother Amon Sen Hotep Ray, better known as Bigger Dre. We're having the event we're having an event, a special event on February 28th. In fact, here in Philadelphia at the Rotunda, we're having a screening for the Independence Day Project movie. So make sure y'all keep up with us, because I'm pretty sure it's gonna be standing room only. We're gonna have a great time there. We're gonna have a lot of vendors there. We're gonna be at the Rotunda out at the University of Penn. So keep tabs on that, family. With the Independence Day Project, we already have dates lined up. There's gonna be a showing of the short for on January 28th as well in New York at the Harlem Theater. So the Black National Theater in Harlem. So it's gonna be part of the Honor Thy Brother program. So listen, man, everybody, the Independence Day Project is getting out there. So listen, I want for y'all to, the 18th. Brother, get the dates right, God darn it. February 18th, you messing me up, man. Make me look bad in front of my people. So yeah, but it's gonna be up to y'all to share the broadcast. I'm gonna ask anybody that's watching tonight to share the broadcast. Click that button in the bottom corner of your screen and click share, because I can't share the show. I told you I'm in solitary confinement in Facebook jail. If you happen to be, like I said, if you happen to be watching it on YouTube, make sure that you also share it in your Google Hangouts and your Google Plus groups. Make sure you share the broadcast. So one shout out I'm gonna give right away. I'm gonna give a shout out to my brother Arnett Woodall. Anybody know anything about West Philly Produce? You know, for the last at least 8 years, West Philly Produce has had a Black Friday. And since we're talking about Black Friday, it happens on Black Friday of the year. A Black Friday event where they give out 100 free dinners out at 62nd and I always get the cross street mixed up. It's not a 62nd and Market, but it's a block south of 62nd and Market. And with my brother Arnett Woodall, West Philly Produce. And they give out 100 dinners, and I was part of the event this past week. So I want to give a shout out to my brother for feeding over 100 people on Friday, giving out platters and food to eat. You know what I'm saying? It was wonderful people. We had pictures, and it was just a great event of just giving. There were books. People were gathering books, taking them with the children. You know what I'm saying? It was just a wonderful event. So I want to give a shout out right away to my brother on it. But I also want to give a shout out to my brother IJ Tayemba up in Harlem with the Harlem Liberation School. They're currently at Harlem Liberation School. They might be letting out now, but in Harlem, they have every 2 weeks, every other Monday, they do a program in Harlem Liberation School where they're getting political education. And today they were talking about domestic violence. So shout out to the brother. I got a chance to watch some of their live streaming. I want to give a shout out to my brother Mitchell Chance. You know, for a lot of you, you know, a lot of people, Mitchell Chance, he puts up a lot of videos. He's a very, very talented speaker, very, very talented author, has about seven, I think it might be six or seven books, has six books out now. He's working on the seventh book. So the brother's about getting that working on there. But what you don't know about the brother Mitchell Chance is he's out in the community a lot, and he does a lot of work in the community, whether it's going to some of the most barren neighborhoods in our community, and talking to the younger brothers and sisters and trying to get a gauge onto what the issues are with them. Currently, he's working with me. I work with him and other groups of brothers. We're doing with the Block by Block Black Captains, as I've mentioned on this show before, where we've been canvassing, knocking on doors, meeting people in the streets, and we pretty much have commandeered Carroll Park. So that's pretty much our lair. That's our bat cave. You know what I'm saying? We have commandeered Carroll Park out in West Philadelphia, 59th and Girard. And we're there every Sunday from 1 to 4, at least from 1 to 4. We 1 to 5, but it's been getting cold. So, you know, if we don't have a crowd showing up, it's 1 to 4. But we do have some children that come consistently. And it's a beautiful thing, because we have some these young brothers that come out. One of them is Ray Kim, Richard. Those are the two brothers, young brothers, that come out every week to see if we're out there. They come out, you know, we give them snacks provided by West Philly Produce. He provides the food and healthy snacks for the program, as well as, some of the other things that we do. But the children come out every single week looking for us. And it just feels good as Black men that we have children looking to us from that particular part, you know, from that particular aspect. Peace to my brother Anthony Gilliard. What's going on, brother? Saw you doing a lot of work shout out to my brother Anthony Gilliard. You know, they were doing a lot of work specifically when Puerto Rico had their power outage dealing with the hurricane. He was doing a lot of work putting together boxes for supplies, blankets, medical supplies, things of that nature to send out to the island of Puerto Rico. So shout out to, you know, brother Anthony Gilliard for being not just, you know, a brother who consistently posts thought-provoking messages on Facebook, but also, you know, who gets his hands dirty. And that's one thing I'm going to talk about tonight is the brothers and sisters who get their hands dirty. We got, you know, a syndrome, man. We were talking about this part, my brother Eric Keith Grimes, Shamari. I didn't say that, Rick. Eric Keith Grimes. my brother Ober Sankofa, you know, brother Mr. Chance, you know, we were out at the park talking about the difference between the reactionaries that show up on Facebook and social media and actually getting out and doing the work in the community. And it's a difference between that, and that's one of the biggest disconnects we had. We feel as though because we hit like on a post, some of us, because we hit like on a post, because we share a few videos, because we go to events, that is community, that is consciousness, and that is activism. It couldn't be further from the truth. Consciousness and activism means you're engaging with the people. You are not just about talking about or talking around the people that you need, that needs the help. You're actually engaging in work that's providing the help for those people. You're, in other words, you're bridging the gap between the people and the help. And one of the things that's mind-boggling is how we have so much virtual support on social media like Facebook. We have a lot of virtual support on Facebook. But Facebook, whether you want to talk about, some have big followers on Twitter, but we don't see it in the field. We don't see it. And at the LOX conference, I had asked my brother Marcus Klein, shout out to Marcus Klein, man, you know, for running. I got the name of Marcus's academies. Marcus has three schools up and running, y'all. African-centered schools that run from, I believe, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. And it's chock full of activities. So shout out to my brother Marcus Klein, you know, for getting that work in. We're also going to be showing the movie in Chicago. I got to contact Marcus, and we're going to be showing the movie in Chicago as well. And we're going to bring it back to Coldwater. I'm not going to forget about my brother Patrick Alexander, Sister Crystal Denise, and the work that's going on in northern Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be back in Coldwater with the Independence Day Project. So, but the workers, the people who are actually engaging in the work, you know what I'm saying? We're few and far in between. And we're struggling right now because even though we're a critical mass, it's easy to get burnt out when you don't have the support of the rest of the community. It's not cool for a lot of people to just pat you on the back. You know, good job, brother, good job. It's cool, but not cool for somebody to pat you on the back and say, job, good job. No, we need boots on the field. We need boots on the street and boots on the ground. We need people to help us mobilize and people to help us. We need access to, you know, buildings. Right now, we're struggling right now to find an indoor location for the Block by Block Black Captains campaign so that we can continue, because we have children who come out consistently, you know, on a weekly basis and look forward to us out there. You know, we were out there a couple of weeks ago playing football with the children. I'm not going to say nothing about the second squad of old heads that lost that game. The young brothers ran a score up on them. But, you know, we had, we're out there and we need help. You know, and it's not just that. We also want to link up with other people that are building in the community, because one of the other conversations we're having right now is people are all working on their individual projects, but we're not connected. And because we're not connected, there's a repetition of the work, a repetition of the effort, and it's not efficiently being used. So instead of three people doing the same thing on one weekend, those three people can combine their forces and have one event or one mobilizing activity where we're mobilized to spread this thing all over the community and so forth. Oh, that's the Oh, that's my little notification telling me that the 76ers just got waxed by the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, LeBron decided to play it off all of a sudden. But we have to get on board back out in the streets. You know, it's crazy. And I probably shouldn't even talk about this because I've been warned not to talk about this. But I'm going to talk about it anyway. And I've been watching some stuff, you know, historical content in regards to the death of Malcolm X and how it happened, this, that, and the other. And I'm not going to really get into my opinion on the matter. You know, I really do feel some type of way, though. I'm not going to lie. I really feel some type of way about, you know, the latest revelations that I've uncovered in regards to the death of Malcolm X. But one of the things that I loved about his movement was that it was a soapbox movement. And Brother Shamari suggested that we need to start getting back to the soapbox movements, because too many of our efforts are being funneled into places like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, where they can be controlled. And right now, we know that there are algorithms in place so that on Facebook, only a certain amount of people are going to see that I posted this video, unless you've actually clicked the subscribe button to my live notifications. On YouTube, you have to be on my mailing list, YouTube list, and you have to subscribe to my channel in order to be notified of when I put the show up on YouTube. And then we're pretty sure all of our information is being monitored. So, you know what I'm saying, family, we need to have our, first of all, have our own apparatus, but we also need to get back out in the streets, because that's where the work needs to be done. The communities, I'm not of that mindset that we're not going to be able to see change in our lifetime in terms of a liberated Black community. My idea of what a liberated Black community looks like might be different than a lot of people here, but it doesn't include all Black people. It doesn't include all Black Americans. It doesn't include all Africans. A liberated Black community to me is a pocket where we can go and have our own rules, our own sovereignty, our own access to resources, our own armies, in our own economic systems, in which we deal with, and our own ambassadors, where we deal with other people. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be there, not to start anyway, but, and it doesn't mean it's not going to grow. But a liberated Black community does not have to start with the masses. I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret, because I know a lot of people have not really done reflective history in terms of, or recollection, have a recollection in terms of the American Revolution. But the American Revolution was fought, was declared, first of all, with 58 signatures, 56 signatures? So between 50 and 58 people decided the fate of this country. At the time they signed that Declaration of Independence, one, they were very, very, they worked the propaganda game. So they had utilized the media at that time, which was newsletters, and they were pinning posts. You had Benjamin Franklin, you had Thomas Paine, you had all these different people, you know, who were pinning articles, Thomas Jefferson, who were talking about liberated thought and liberated mindsets and liberated concepts. You know, and they were talking about liberties and their freedoms and how their rights were trampled upon and things of that nature. And they created the mindset and where they had a big enough drawing and a big enough following to where they were able to create that independent thought process, the independent mindset. Even though they did this, now you got to take into account the 13 colonies, right? We're only talking about the East Coast down to like to Georgia. So we're talking from Maine to Georgia. Because back then, Florida wasn't even considered a state. It was a Spanish territory. When you talk about that, you only had 3% of that population that actually engaged in warfare against what was considered to be, at that time, the greatest military might in the world, the British Empire. 3% engaged. It wasn't 3%. That's 3 out of every 100 people. You had 3 people out of every 100 who actively engaged in the American Revolution. Take that into consideration. They had 10 ships against the world's greatest naval armada at the time. Take that into consideration. So when you look at all those different concepts, it does not take a mass number of people to create a liberated movement. And they did this in a matter of 4 years. They earned their liberation in 4 years. We're talking about since the Declaration of Independence. Of course, you had the brush fires before that, but 1776, by 1778, you already had the Articles of Confederation. All right? So literally, I'm being facetious by saying 4 years, literally they got their independence in 2 years. And they was able to shift and move. They was able to be mobile. They used guerrilla warfare. They used whatever tactic, because you can't go toe to toe with a might, a might that's greater than yours. You can't go with a foe. They're greater than you in terms of, you know, what military they're. But if you have strategy, if you have heart, you can accomplish what you will. Now, we've known for a minute that they've had this thing called the Black Identity Extremists. They've been had it. They just finally gave it a name. They've been labeling us. They just finally gave it a name, made it public. And I was talking to my brother Ober earlier, and we were discussing that matter, how they finalized, you know, while we've known for long the counter-opposing effect. All right? But unfortunately, family, you know, we can only deal with what we can do. And right now we got a lot of people who got scared. And that was the purpose of that Black Identity Extreme. You have to understand, people can be controlled with fear, specifically us. And they've utilized fear to control us for quite some time. So this is why we have to start getting ourselves together in terms of organization. We have to overcome our fear of this government, overcome our fear of white supremacy, overcome our fear of the European. One of the things that we have going for us right now is that we have Donald Trump in office. And you know what happened when Donald Trump got in office? Everybody else became a nigga. All right? When Donald Trump got elected, all these other groups that they were oppressed and that there was this intersection of oppression, well, now they're dealing with it for real. Donald Trump has pulled the gloves off, so all that fake ass oppression that they, all these other groups were going over, whether you were, you know, part of the Latino Brigade, whether you're part of the LGBTQ, whether you were part of, you know, whether you consider yourself to be Native American, whether you were immigrants that were claiming that you were being persecuted, now you're getting persecuted for real. What hasn't been happening, black people, the assaults on black people have been going down. They're still happening, but it's not as much because now everybody is catching hell. And we sort of predicted this. A lot of us predicted this after Donald Trump got elected. I mean, before, when we knew Donald Trump was going to win the election, we predicted that was going to happen. Now, one of the things I said we needed to get together was we needed to get organized while the attention's not on us. And that hasn't happened. What has happened is we have been having more members of our community push forth this whole idea, not integration, but assimilation. And we've been having too many members of our community that's been pushing forth with the assimilation aspects of, you know, of society. So they would rather assimilate. So we got a lot of black people right now jockeying for position. There was an article, I believe it was in the Baltimore Sun recently, about the fact that Target was taking its Madawin Mall location and closing it down. And they were restocking over to the store that's in the affluent white neighborhood in Baltimore. And the sister that wrote the article was calling it My Target. And why is Target taking it? Why are the owners of Target taking this store from us? And what does it say for the community that we need places like Target? We need all of these commercial businesses to come in. And I'm like, that's bullshit. No, let Target go, you know, and then let's create black enterprise in the black community. Let's create black enterprise. So let's put some black businesses to fill the void where Target was getting all that money and Target was getting all those resources. Let's give that money to some black people, business-minded black people, and they can go to the Madawin Mall area, set up shop, and let's start building black commerce in the black community. Why are we sitting there putting ourselves in a position where we're constantly dependent and begging for somebody to come in and save us and take care of us? See, we have to have that independent mindset. So let's talk about the money for that for a minute, because this is where we get it all fucked up. And I'm speaking frank tonight, because this is a topic we need to have, the conversation we need to have. We get this whole concept of money fucked up in a way where we think money is the end goal. So to have money, we accumulate, we equate money with wealth. And those are two different things. People with money acquire wealth. Once you have wealth, you really don't have any need for money. You really don't have any need for money because you got the wealth. The wealth is what you use to make your empire grow. The wealth is the resources. The wealth is, you know, access to the resources. The wealth is the distribution of the resources. That's the wealth. We're stuck on the money aspect of it. And the money aspect of it is the fact that they've sold us a bill of goods to think that money is the goal. But while they use money as a tool. Let me give you an example. I was watching this television show, right? And let me tell y'all something about the word bitch. You want to see women get disrespected? All you have to do is watch the television shows, these action television shows, where white men are parading and going around and calling all the women in the shows crazy bitches. So I was watching this show called 13, right? It's on Netflix. And the irony behind this is it happened to be about some agent or whatever, and who lost his memory. I don't want to give too much if you want to watch it, but there's going to be some spoilers here. And process, the president is going up for re-election in the second season. He's calling, and he's going up against a woman, and he keeps calling, I'm not going to give up my seat in the office to this crazy bitch. This is him talking, not me, all right? But in the concept of the show, you had some assassins that were on the show, and there was this one woman who was a real good assassin instead of the other. And she went to the person, this dude that was running for election, and she said to him, you know, you got me going around with this hit squads, this, that, and the other, and you have all these different agencies, alphabet agencies that have they have people overlooking them, and they have oversight. So basically, there's always going to have somebody there to cover it up, this, that, and the other. He said, I want my own team. He said, well, listen, if you do this job I got for you, I'll give you $2 million. And if you kill the mark, I add another million to it. He said, nah, I don't want the money. I want the power. I want to have my own assassin team. You know what I'm saying? And see, that's where you get a clear understanding of the difference between how money is used. That man was giving her $3 million because he wanted access to this weapon. And having access to this weapon, which happened to be this God computer program, he wanted access to this weapon, but the money he had didn't mean anything. It was like moving pieces on the chessboard. He was willing to give her $3 million to get access to this power. You see what I'm saying? We would have hoarded the $3 million. We're taught to hoard that $3 million. Like, nah, you can't touch this $3 million. And that's the problem with us and our concept of money. The money is used. The money needs to be seen as the tool. Just like a hammer, a screwdriver, a Phillips screwdriver, you know, a pipe wrench, a blowtorch, it needs to be seen as a tool. We're not utilizing money as a tool. And that's why we have such a hard time with raising capital to get things we need. We have a hard time with raising capital. Now, we'll support financially people who are already successful, because that's how we've been trained as Black people to function around money. My man, Akil Parker, shout out to my brother, Akil Parker. He put up a thought-provoking post recently talking about the fact that Meek Mills was in a verse, he was bragging about sending children to private school. And he was saying that most private schools, these white independent private schools, you know, like middle school, primary schools, they're like $35,000 a year. And I know personally that's cheap, because I knew a couple families that out in the suburban areas of Philadelphia, they were sending their children to private school, and they were talking upwards of $40,000 and $45,000 a year, but how much it was worth it. So there's so he was talking about, well, yeah, affluent Blacks sending our children to those schools. How about if we have an African-centered school? do you think that those same black people would be spending $35,000 to send their children to those schools? And we all, the answer was no. Because, first of all, white supremacy has proven itself to black people. We know that white supremacy, and I'm just talking about the concept, so just walk with me here for a minute. We know that the white supremacist is successful. We can see the empire is all around us. The skylines of your cities are a testament to the supremacy, the success of white supremacy. The monuments that they have all around are a testament to white supremacy. The institutions that they're able to put in place are a testament to white supremacy. The fact that they can come into your community and have something up and running overnight is a testament to that. So we see their success, so they don't have to prove anything to us. But when you have African people or black people saying, we could not only model their success, we could model it in our image and give you a better product, everybody pretends like they're from Missouri. And they say, well, nigga, you got to show me. Because I don't believe you as a black man or a black woman are as, you know, can be as successful as these Europeans who have created this empire. And because we're not, that's the cognitive dissonance that kicks in when it comes to us building and working together and utilizing capital. We don't mind paying white folk, you know, for access to their proximity. But we don't have the confidence, and we can't get past our cognitive dissonance to give that same energy to a black enterprise. Listen, if you're on the show and you're watching the show and you like what you're seeing, please hit that share button. I am in solitary confinement on Facebook. I cannot share the show with anybody in any group. Please share this in all the groups. If you have the Android application on your phone, you can go to the Android application and share it in as many groups as you're in. It gives you the opportunity to just click that share button, because we're really trying to get more people engaged in the content. And listen, family, if you are interested tonight, you can call us up on our Skype hotline. And let me see if I can find the daggone Skype number. I haven't used Skype in so long. I ought to be ashamed of myself. I haven't used the Skype number in so long. Give me a second, family. But I haven't used the Skype number for office hours. It's 215-958-8700. That's 215-395-8700. 395-8700. So it's 215-395-8700. All right? If you want to call in, all right, but please hit that share button, family. Hook a brother up. I'm begging for shares. Oh, speaking of begging, let me tell y'all who I ran into today when I was on my way to, you know, go drop some paperwork off. As you all know, I'm a therapist, so I had to drop some paperwork off. And I saw this white guy sitting on the curb at Dunkin' Donuts on North Broad Street, right? So I pulled into the Dunkin' Donuts parking lot, and I have a conversation with the man. I asked him if he was a vet and if he thought his country had treated him well, this, that, and the other, yada, yada, yada. Turns out this man said he was a vet. His whole family was full of vets, this, that, and the other. And he was talking about how he had lied to get into the military, and he had lied to stay. And by the time he finished talking, I thought that they probably shot him gave him a loaded dose and sent his ass home so he couldn't remember anything. He said he remembers being in the infirmary, but he couldn't remember getting shot or if he shot somebody. So I said, all right, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But see, these are the people that when the people were protesting the brothers that are protest, the brothers and sisters, you got brothers and sisters who are taking a knee and protesting the national anthem. You know, these are the people that supposedly these are the people that these white supremacists supposedly are, honoring. You know, that they're saying we're dishonoring. We're dishonoring the vets. We're dishonoring the vets. This, that, and the other. And this dude was homeless. So how much dishonor is that? The fact that you have people who went to war for this country, for whatever their reason, they come back home and they can't get a job, and most of them are on disability. And then half the fact, and we're talking about California, like 300 vets died waiting for the veteran, the VA to get back to them. You know what I'm saying? That's just a little quick blurb about something that, you know, just a little quick something. But to get back to this money thing, family, we have to start supporting the institutions that and the people that are building institutions at a higher clip. As we speak right now, we have probably out of 45, 46 million black people that are recorded on the United States Census, we probably have about, I'd say a good 10,000 black people who are actually screaming black nationalism or pan-Africanism or some level or some shape, or black, and even few screaming black independence. There was a sister arguing with me on the Brother Akil's post the other day. And her argument with us was about the fact that, you know, why should we put money into information when information is free? And I said to her, sister, the information is free, but it costs to teach. Teaching is costly. Her whole concept of independence went right out the window because she started saying, well, there are ways to create, to take the financial burden off of families. Well, now you're talking about grants, you're talking about dependency on the government, the institutions, the main institutions that have been putting in place or have been creating the dogma or the standards for which we're dealing with right now. And they're the ones putting these glass ceilings in place for us. So how are we talking about black independence, but you want to go back to depending on the federal government or the state government to give you money towards, you know, your education? When the hand that feeds you is the hand that guides you. And when you start letting other people give you money, they dictate your movements. There was just recently something that came out a couple of days ago about this sister who was caught. She was part of the media. I think she might have been out of the Washington Post. And she was caught at a George Soros meeting where they were talking about how George Soros was going to co-opt the agenda, the liberal agenda for all these different movements. Now, if anybody that's been paying attention, this is no secret. George Soros has been doing this shit for decades and even more recently in America with the Occupy Wall Street movement and now Black Lives Matter. So there's no secret to how George Soros gets his hands in the how he gets his hands into the pockets of all these people, and he starts to, you know, create these particular situations, you know, where he's diverting all of the what's his name? My bad, Rick. I'm on the air, man. My bad. Sorry, y'all. I gotta watch my tone. Long story. Anyway, so we have a lot of different things we need to start accessing. But do y'all have any questions in the chat group? Ask me some questions. I'm on the line by myself this evening. Ask me some questions. I tell you no lies. I see my sister Shawnez Richardson is sharing us on Twitter. Shawnez, can you share us in some of the Google Hangouts groups, please? Told y'all, I'm dancing for shares on Facebook and YouTube. If anybody else wants to, anybody have any questions, or y'all just tuned in for this evening? This is one of the rare cases where I don't have a co-host. So y'all can chime in, ask questions. If you got any issues concerning the Independence Day Project, what I can tell you is the Independence Day Project, I am literally 3 days away from finishing the project. When I say 3 days, I'm not talking about three calendar days. I'm saying 3 days when I can just sit down in front of my computer and finish the edit, the final edits. There's a piece that I'm adding for the Black Identity Extremist because there's no documentaries out talking about that right now. So I'm going to add a piece for the Black Identity Extremism and make sure that we hit that piece because that's very important to understand that this is the next stage in COINTELPRO. And to remind people about the tragedies that happened during the last active stage of COINTELPRO, when you had the bloody summer of 1968, where we lost Dr. Martin Luther King, Fred Hampton, and a plethora of other brothers and sisters. They were either killed between 1967 and 1975. They were either killed or incarcerated. We have a lot of prisoners of war right now in jail right now because of the war of the American government, these alphabet agencies and local police institutions, and the rest of the, and towards the Black Power, the Black Empowerment Movement. You know, you had the Black Power Movement with the Panthers, and you had other members of the community who were speaking out against, you know, the discrimination, not just discrimination, but the slaughter of Black people at the hands of these white supremacists. So we're seeing the next stage of that. And what's more dangerous now is that they've confused a lot of our children into believing that they're millennials. So we don't even have the support of the young brothers and sisters anymore, because they are not tethered to anything about Black empowerment. They're about multiculturalism, multinationalism, and nothing is clearer than if you've watched, if anybody watches Netflix, and if you had an opportunity to watch She's Got to Have It. I'm only up to episode 4, but she's already in bed with another woman. You know, the sister, Nola, I forget her name, forget her last name. Beautiful, beautiful sister. You know, beautiful sister. She's currently been engaged. It's all about the sexual liberation. But it's all about the sexual liberation and aspects of the whole millennialism and feminism and all those other isms. And you're not going to label me, and you're not going to slut shame me and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, you know, the sisters on the show having a damn nervous breakdown. You know what I mean? So good luck with all that. But what you get to see is the fact that, you know, she starts talking about the fact that there was these European movies. She was asking his brother, had he seen these European movies? He had said no. And she said, you have got to get some culture. And the thing is that if you have to learn European music and European contemporary European art, this, that, and the other, to be considered cultured, that's one of the biggest problems right there. We don't have a culture of our own to cling to, so we start clinging to their culture, and we struggle with those things. So, you know what I'm saying? Family, if anybody has anybody that they would like to shout out, do so in the chat, and I'll give you a shout out. You know what I'm saying? I'll give a shout out to whoever you said is doing things in the community. I've already big up, you know, my brother Patrick Alexander out there working hard in cold water. Brother Patrick, we're going to bring the Independence Day Project back to you. Don't have to worry, good brother. We want to make sure we have a theater set up and lined up. You know, I've already talked about the work. Oh, shout out to my brother Shamari. You know, good work here in Philly. You know what I'm saying? He works with a few programs. I can't think of the name of them off the top. Tonight is a cloudy night for me in terms of recollecting and memorizing all that stuff. I should have wrote it down. But shout out to my brothers, Shamari does good work. My brother Oba, you know, they got this Kwanzaa celebration coming up at the end of December. So keep on the lookout for that. Keep on the post for that. Shout out to, you know, my sister Shanice Starr with Honor Thy Brother. And the Celebrate Thy Brother program that she has, and that's going down in January, and I'm grateful to be a part of that program and to be able to talk about the Independence Day Project there, because it's not just a movie, it's an actual project. It's a project toward, that's going towards, you know, the liberation, created a liberated space and liberated mindset for Black people. One of the things assisted on the thread that I was speaking of earlier was talking about was that she wants to continue to work with the people, with the poor, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, grassroots from the bottom up. Where are you going? Where are you building to? You got to have a goal. And that's been one of the biggest problems in Black liberation, is we keep talking about building, but we don't even know what the hell we're building. So we can build liberation. We wouldn't even know what it looks like. Because to a lot of us, we believe that Black liberation means some type of utopia. And that's just not the case. As I was speaking on the conference call earlier, you know, with my brothers Joe, Patrick, and my sister Mo, you know, we were talking about the fact that Black liberation is not going to be a utopia. All you have to do to understand liberations, understand the liberation of this country and understand the liberation of, you know, Haiti to you know, understand what liberation is looking like. You know what I'm saying? Liberation, peace, my brother My brother Joe Bowers, what's going on, brother? I see you out there, fam. Brother Justin Bowers. One of the things that, you know, we learn in liberation is liberation comes with rules and responsibility. Liberation is just not freedom. It's not being irresponsible. Liberation comes with rules. You have to be able to be responsible with your liberation. Your liberation is not something that you could just take and just be free to be whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because once you're liberated, okay, you gotta decide how you gonna eat. That's the rule, that's number one. Well, anything else, how you gonna eat? When you're liberated, you're responsible for your own food. So how you gonna eat? What kind of shelter are you gonna have? Who's gonna provide the shelter? What kind of resources are you gonna have? You have to have resources, not just for survival, but also for trade. Because you're not gonna have everything that you need. You need to also have access to trade. So all those things go hand in hand. All those things go hand in hand. So when you have those situations popping off, you gotta be under, you have to understand, and you're gonna have division within the liberation. Everybody's not gonna be on the same page. You have allies and you have friends. Everybody is not a friend. And every friend is not an ally, and every ally is not a friend. You have to understand those concepts. You have to understand military science, political science. You have to understand earth science. You have to understand all these different things and all these different factions in order to truly understand what liberation looks like. So, family, you know, I appreciate y'all all staying out, hanging out with me tonight. I'm actually going to roll up and get ready to do some more work on this project. So that this will be one of the days I'm counting. So I hope that I can bang out what I plan on banging out this evening before I get too tired. Brother has to teach tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for tuning in. Please continue to share the show. You know what I'm saying? And with that, family, as always, you know, I got love for y'all. There's peace, blessings, and black power. All right, family, one love.